And so, the essence of today's Dharma talk, which I gave you before your little write-up, the essence of today's Dharma talk is this. Don't look for higher practices and teachings. Don't look for visions. Don't look for dreams. Do not look for signs and omens and portents. Do not look for any of that. The only sign, portent, dream, and vision you should have is, if you're a very jealous person, your jealousy releases. That's what you should look for in you. That's the real Dharma we want. Do you know why? You can have signs and visions and portents, but if your mind don't change and you're not nice and you're harmful to people, when you tell people you have those visions, you will drive them away from Dharma. They will be disgusted. Why? Act like that, have that vision. How can it match? Especially for Chinese people. Especially for Chinese people. If you want to be a medium oracle, you can see things. You have to be very clean. So if you're not clean, how can you have that? Tibetans believe otherwise, differently. But Chinese believe that. You have to be clean. If you're not clean, you see that, something wrong. That's for Chinese. I said again, Tibetans believe differently. They have a different source. And the essence of today's teachings is, don't look for something high when the highest teachings is in front of you. And have you done it? Have all of us in this room read through the Lam Rim front to back and ask questions and learn? Has anyone in this room finished any of their preliminary practices? Any of it? Have you even made efforts every day to do preliminary practice with meditation, with recitation, purification practices? Has anyone in this room? Has anyone in this room finished a preliminary retreat, such as the Guru Yoga Lama Tsongkhapa? Anyone? Made Torma offerings every day? Made offerings of the sensory items? Did the sadhanas and do the meditations? Has anyone in this room read up on the three principal paths? Anyone? Has anyone in this room read up and memorized the 50 verses of Guru devotion? The preliminary to tantric practice. Guru Panchasika by Ashva Gosha. Has anyone in this room read that? That is beginning, middle, and end. Read it, memorize it, can recite it, or at least very familiar. Anyone? Has anyone in this room made a commitment to the Dharma, to the Lama or the Dharma institution, and kept the commitment all the way and not fizzle back and forth and play? Even those spaces. Has anyone? Has anyone in this room even eliminated the doubt of the Lama and have no doubts about the Lama? Has anyone? If no doubt, has anyone even surrendered a little bit to the Lama and not always tussle and argue and debate and avoid and fight and challenge and behind whisper things? Has anyone achieved even that? Those are very basic before tantric practice. Listen, once you get Vajrayogini, Hiruka, Yamataka, Kalachakra, and we engage in those practices, if you have one negative thought, if you say one negative thing to anyone about your Lama, that's it. That's it. In every single tantric practice, you have to do Vajrasattva every day because we have the danger of that. In Tibet, before you even get initiation, even hear about it, maybe 12 years minimum with the Lama. 12 years minimum. You think people here will stand for that? Because they don't know the Dharma. They speak out of ignorance. So they just talk and complain and doubt, talk and complain and doubt. Always. If we have achieved all those, we can talk about something else. If we are not achieved and the Lama's repeating the same thing year after year, maybe it's a sign that we should do those practices. Maybe he'll stop talking once we finish those practices. But if we don't finish those practices and we don't do it and we're here and he's advised us and we're still not doing it and we want more, doesn't make sense to me. And sometimes I don't know how to do it. Hello, CD, VCD, it's out there. So we don't try to complain and make noise and doubt and always challenge and fight and always, oh, I don't know, whatever. If we haven't done what we're supposed to do first. That's very important. That's not criticism. That is information. None of this is intended to be criticism. None of it. I have too many people, and I'm on film, to try something funny and tricky and get away with it. There's too many intelligent people. I don't go around thinking people are stupid. I don't go around thinking that. I go around thinking every person is a chance for me to convey the Dharma, and I will practice. Bottom line, I will hold my vows. Bottom line. So, the essence of today's teaching is to practice what you already know, what you've already learned, instead of complaining what you don't know, instead of complaining of the style of teaching, the lama, the place, whatever, instead of complaining, to start your practice at home with a picture of your lama or the lamas who are giving you the dharma. It can be two or three. Anytime you've sat and received the dharma teachings from a lama, deep respect must arise from your mind. Whether you consider that person a root master or a master or not, automatically that person becomes an important person for you on the path to enlightenment. And if you have a lama, you visualize the lama giving you dharma, going together. And if we have many lamas, in my case I have 14, it's a little difficult. So it's easier if I visualize Kepje Sarangji, all of them dissolve, or Lama Tsongkhapa, all of them dissolve. And if we have doubt in even one lama we receive teachings from, we create obstacles on our path. And if we dare speak against the lama, or fight against the lama, or talk against the lama, and the lama is sincere toward us, and has given us gifts, and dharma, and help, and love, and assistance, and advice, if we go against the lama, or his institution or people, it shows us what kind of people we are. We will not be successful. Harm will come our way. Why? If we keep doing it, someone won't take it out there. Someone will get us back. Eventually, someone will get us. The karma will build up. They'll scare us, threaten us, show things about us that we don't know, that other people don't know, threaten. We have to think. Those never mind. And the karmic repercussions, very strong. The essence of today's teachings, and none of my teachings is to criticize. My teachings are based on Buddha's teachings, experience, and examples of what I hear locally, of what's happened. And I'll take that example, and I'll mix it together with Dhamma and give it to you. So some of you feel it applies to you, and I'm targeting you. You're wrong. I don't target. When I hear or see something that is not right, I give teachings. Why? To let knowledge flow into the person's mind with prayer, with compassion, so that hopefully this time they hear, they transform. Not to strike out, not to hurt, not to embarrass. Why? There's no benefit. But to compassionately teach them, explain, based on the Dharma, what they've done. And to tell them that wrong and right logically. And treatment, remedy, antidote. So how can we give these? We have to look around the people we know. And we hear this, we know this, we understand this. Sometimes, yeah, we understand. So we take that into Dharma and we mix it together and we explain. And some people who have very big egos, or they cannot face themselves, they feel there's a target against them. It's not. Why would I target one or two people? What benefit do I get? If I want to be their friend, I can get ang paos if I'm nice to them, right? Target nice things to them. So if I'm nasty and target nasty things, I'm not going to get ang pao, right? Isn't that my motive in Malaysia? Get ang pao, what? So no benefit anyway. No benefit. No point to target, no point to embarrass, no point to shh. Sometimes lamas have to use very powerful, extreme methods to cut and stop someone's karma. Very powerful and very direct. Rarely does a lama do that. Rarely. When extreme cases, why? Out of compassion. Out of care for the evildoer and the ones being done to, that they both don't receive negative karma. Because you can see, you can tell, you know. Out of compassion. And there's no other motive. No other motive. So people who stay with their lama a long time, if it's a real lama, not a clown, not a street kid from America, not a loser, a real lama, if you stay with them for a while, you observe their qualities shine through. Because in the beginning, or how they manifest to you, will be what you need. And this goes for every person who sees this tape, who's with their lamas in their own centers, in their own traditions. So people who are followers of His Holiness the Dalai Lama, sometimes they'll think negative things about His Holiness. I've heard people say that. And eventually they see His golden qualities of a Bodhisattva. Some people will travel around with His Holiness Drigung Gyamgun Rinpoche and think negative thoughts in the beginning. Even they're high, they sit on a big throne, nothing. Their minds are transformed. And some people can be with a simple Geshe, with some simple, not meaning like, no big title. Simple doesn't mean he's low. No title. Can be with their Geshe in the center, in the west, or in the east somewhere. Many Geshes from Ganden Sera Drigung travel the world and teach. And they think, oh, he doesn't have a big title. He's just a man like me. He's a monk. He has some knowledge. I don't have to respect him. Wrong. Because he may have a name of Geshe, He may not have a high title, but it doesn't mean he hasn't attained something in his mind now. Doesn't mean that. And then those of us who follow teachers that are renowned, that you can see the result of their holy practice. You can see the result of their prayers and their hard work. And we should have faith and respect. His Holiness Dingo Kenze Rinpoche, the great Nyingma master. His Holiness Kyabje Chujan Rinpoche. We should know what they're about and understand the Dharma, then we can check on a low level. The great master, the Kandapa Geshe, Kelsang Gyatso, you can see very clearly his works, his centers, his books, his pure vows, and how many thousands of people he affects. And we like or we don't like can see result. We accept or we don't accept. It doesn't really matter. I'm not at the level to judge, and I'm not the level to see. All I'm at the level is teach the Dharma, teach Guru devotion, make students and their teachers strong. Make them understand the Dharma so that they can apply it to their own personal practice. Don't give your practice to them. Don't change them. But as they are, and give them the Dharma so they can add the Dharma to themselves. Water is water. When you have a bucket of water, you add more water, water is water. But you add something different, maybe red water you put in, becomes different. You must give the Dharma. Must encourage every single Dharma tradition and center and lineage to practice on their own. And pray for them. And give them gifts. Give them statues. Give them gifts. Give them encouragement. Give them advice to make them grow. Why? If they grow, another Dharma center grows. This Dharma center grows. That Dharma grows. If one goes down, it's damaging to Dharma. One goes down. Cannot. Must make everybody grow and encourage. Not only talk, show by action. Encourage all centers to grow, all lineages to grow. Encourage them to learn and study. Encourage them to follow their tradition with pure Dharma that's not filtered. And then Dharma grows. And then if we come to this city, this beautiful city of Kuala Lumpur, to spread the Dharma will spread and we're doing our job. You see, not everybody can follow my tradition. So if I think that, I'm ridiculous. It's illogical. So if I say, oh, you don't follow mine, everything is wrong. Ridiculous. Oh, don't follow that, mine is right, come here. Cannot. If another person develops negative thought about their Lama, or you influence them, and they go away because of that, whatever centers or practices they do, they cannot gain attainments. Unless the Tantra and Vajra Dara is wrong. Cannot. Cannot. So if we're with friends or students of other Lamas, and we must say things that encourage their practice toward their Lama, we must. Why? If we pull them away or say negative things, or influence them negatively, our own guru devotion will go down the drain. Finished. Why? How can you do that and then yours become better? Cannot. The cause resembles the result. The result resembles the cause. You're the heir to your own karma. So that's what we must do. And that's the purpose of these sessions and these teachings. I take extra time out and come. I investigate. I read the books. Make notes. I check. I get my people to Xerox or whatever for you. So that you can sit in a comfortable, nice room and learn. Everything's easy. Everything's convenient. Now what we need to do, instead of wanting more learning, or this learning, or that learning, or this is not good, that's not good. What we know, do. What we know, do. So if you want the holy Vajrayogini practices in the future, you better finish your preliminaries. Until you finish that, all of us who already finished that, maybe we won't get it in the end of this life. And if you say, oh, I'll get it from the Lama, get it. No problem. I don't feel threatened or scared because I know the cause, I know the practice, and I know the result. And if you get the result, come and let me know. You have to check. Be precise on Dharma. Don't be wishy-washy and just read here and here and tell people this and this and you're not sure. Be precise. Be clear. And you yourself hold your vows. And your body, speech, and mind. In any situation, must exude or emanate out of compassion. Must emanate out of pity and compassion. Whether it's fierce, whether it's gentle, whether it's awkward, whether it's weird, whether it's controversial, whatever actions you do must exude and come out of the compassionate mind. Otherwise, no effect. No effect. To develop this compassionate mind, at first, the fourth preliminary practice is to wipe away the stains of previous lives. First, and every day, do our sadhanas, our Lama Tsongkhapa Guru Yoga, and the mitsamas very well. And then whatever practices we put, and then to clear away obstacles daily for ourselves. If we are in good samaya with our Lama, that samaya, you do any protector, no use. Oh, don't think, oh, this Lama didn't give me this protector. So if I do this one, this came from that Lama, but I don't like him, no effect. The minute you say something negative about the Lama, all your practices go down, no matter what you think, unless the Buddha is wrong. So after you finish your Lama Tsongkhapa Guru Yoga, in order to free yourself of obstacles and negative mind and doubts and going the wrong path, then you propitiate your personal Dharma protector. Whatever Dharma protector your Lama has given you, you follow. No one dare criticize. No one can say anything. That's you. It's you. No one can say anything. If another High Lama says that that practice is wrong, then another High Lama can say your practice is wrong. Then it never ends. Never ends. I don't care how high the Lama is. Nobody in this world can criticize another Lama's practice. Nobody. Then if you say, oh, this person's wrong, that person, you can be wrong too. Then where does it stop? Everybody's wrong. Then nobody practices. Whatever your practice, whatever your lineage, whatever your Lama has given you, you do it with full confidence. And you do it with compassion. And you ask your Dharma protector to clear the obstacle that cover your mind, that distract you from Dharma and doing positive actions. And pray for the long lives of your gurus and masters. Pray for the leaders of this country to have health and excellence, the government to grow, and to be happy, and no natural disasters here. And pray that negative kind of spirits and problems, doesn't affect anyone. And if you do that every day, and you have your samaya clean with your lama, anybody wants to do anything to you, you don't need lengthy pujas. You can even throw rice and dispel the obstacle. Very simple. And if some people think, oh, I have to be in the presence of that person, throw rice. Oh no, don't underestimate the lamas. They don't have to be with you or in your room to stop obstacles and problems. Never underestimate. Some lamas can put out fire by doing meditation in a distant place. Lama Yeshi was well known for that. His Tummo practice, Naro Chutu, the six yogas of Naropa. Very famous. Lama Tsongkhapa mastered that and elucidated and taught on the six practices. And that's according to that's related to the Vajrayana Tantra and higher level. Some lamas can put out fire not even being there, but they will never show you. Some lamas can heal people who've fallen from high buildings. I've seen Geshe Thurim Gyaltsen do that in America. Oh, I'm sorry, my Mamie and all that saw Geshe Thurim Gyaltsen do that, where one of the students were cleaning something on the upper part of the center and fell flat on the pavement. Don't know what happened, flat on the back. And everyone was worried, and he's not moving, and all that stuff. And Geshe came out, what happened? And they told him, Geshe, oh, don't worry, it's be okay. And he was laughing, he was joking. He put his hand on the person's face, just like nothing. Ah, the person woke up. He's just a simple Geshe. Oh, no. I've seen too much. So don't underestimate a real Buddhist master. Don't underestimate a person who's come from lifetime after lifetime after lifetime to benefit others. Do not underestimate. Ever. If you do, temporarily you may win. Ultimately, you will lose by the power of your negative karma. So enlightened beings in Tibet, enlightened beings of this tradition, or highly realized beings, or people who have very strong karma, affinity from many lifetimes of practice, they can just focus on the person and do prayer. That's all. Nothing anybody can do. Isn't the Chinese tradition, Mao Song, isn't it, the most powerful magic, people believe? That's what I was told when I first came here. And if you have the most powerful magic against you from Taiwan, Mao Song, mountain magic, I guess that's what it's called. The only tradition that can counter that is the Tibetan tradition. That's what they tell me. I've had many cases of people coming and telling me that. Then why me? You're Tibetan, and only you can do it. Of course, when I look at the Ang Pao, I do it. With me, it's always Ang Pao. And if I get $5, I take my blessing back. If I get $6, I give the blessing to them. Oh yes, even in the Chinese, they believe that. Why? Because the highest set of teachings from Lord Buddha, the Tantras, were carried to Tibet and they were not destroyed. They went to Japan, they went to Korea, they went to China. All these great countries practiced, but in time it was lost. So Tibet is not higher. It's just that Tibet is isolated, they didn't have a chance to lose it, and they practice. It's not Tibetans are better. No. No. So this type of practice only comes from Tantra. Very powerful. But let's not worry about all that. Let's not think about all that. That's why your lamas give you protective practices to protect you. Those people who use protective practices wrong, it will go reverse. Always. Definitely. And to do your yidam practice. In this case, simple. Lama Tsongkhapa. What's more superior than that? What else do you need? And then we should have Lama Tsongkhapa, and we should do our 100,000 prostrations. Every day we should do a few, 100, 200, every day and mark it. Even one day you're sick, you cannot do three, minimum. Every day. Get the teachings on it. I've taught it so many times. Don't wait for Rinpoche to teach again. You study, you read up, and you look to see. Then you come and attend teachings if you want. Then you know something. You don't come to teaching zero. Like in college, you have to know, read up. And then do your water offerings, 100,000. Oh, incredible merit. And do your vajrasattvas correctly with meditation. Minimum 100,000. Minimum. Do your mandala offering. I don't know how. Read a book. Look at the CD. And then when you're pretty good at it and you're unsure, then you request for teachings. And then the Lama explains. You don't make the Lama, torture the Lama and teach him 25,000 times and you haven't read up on anything. Oh, I don't know. Teach me. If I have to teach you, don't do. What's the point? No point. So if we do that, we'll see changes all around us. It will affect people around us. Definitely. Then? Okay, now, I pass you out these simple, easy, fabulous, wonderful questions. And if you have the luck to be here today, and during the day you throw big BFs, you're not sure you're coming, you're going, you're going to do or not, that's your negative karma affecting you. If you have the luck to be here and learn the Dharma, what we did from the time I walked in till now is Dharma. What we did from the time I walked in till now is listening and sharing the Dharma. Everything you did in this session is virtuous. And you controlled your ears, you didn't listen to gossip. You controlled your mouth, you didn't pass gossip. You didn't lie, you didn't say negative things to other people. You didn't talk about sex and drugs and drinking and all these things all the time. And for the few hours you're here, you control your body, not engage it in negative actions. All the time, negative, negative. And use it for negative actions. And while you're here, you have controlled your mind to a certain point where at least you're not thinking so many negative things. It's more towards Dharma percentage. So the few hours you've been here, it took a lot of merits to be here. And it ripened now. The merits ripened. But in order to continue this merit, you must practice from now. If you don't practice now, you just go for teachings, you burn out. Why? Your merits cannot sustain. We're tapping on our good karma from all directions. We want good food, we want good house, we want good job, we want good money, we want good boyfriend, good girlfriend, we want nice aircon, we want everything nice. That taps into our karma that we've used up. We're using up that we've collected. And we don't replenish, definitely it cannot last. So to be here even is our good karma. Me and you, my good karma. Why? All we did for the last few hours is Dharma. And we've done our best with our mind concentration. Even our body posture is Dharma, discipline. So we should rejoice. We should feel very lucky that we made it here. We should feel lucky if we've been influenced here. We should feel lucky that we come across this. We should feel very lucky. And this class is closed to outside people. It's only for people who work and volunteers and writers. That's it. But if you have the karma, somehow you wiggle your way in. That's good. So we should feel very fortunate, lucky. This is what Dharma is. It isn't doing offerings and chanting mantras and telling people this and that. What it is listening at this stage. And none of us at this point, none of us, should arbitrarily go anywhere and start teaching Dharma to people, performing rituals in any way. And I say this openly, I'll say this in Ganden anywhere. None of us. Without us receiving initiation, practice, retreat, and authorization, and correct lineage. One of the four correct lineages. Nyingma, Gagyu, any of the 16 lineages of Gagyu, Sakya, and of course Gelugpa. So if our lamas and teachers and the practices were not received directly from any of these lamas, indirectly, there will be doubt. Why? These practices All these come from Tibet. It all comes from Tibet. So at this point, it hasn't transferred to other countries fully. Not fully. It will in the future. In the future, you don't need directly go Tibetan lineage master. You don't need. At this point, need. It hasn't reached that point where it's completely infiltrated into other places and done well. So if we're going to do any of those practices, rituals and tormas and fire pujas and mandalas and initiations and divinations, and we want to do all these kind of things that we love, make sure you have authorization from a direct lineage holder. Direct. If you don't, and you do it, the consequences are severe. And what are the consequences? It is said at the beginning of any tantra text, you read at your own discretion and danger. Why, when you do these practices unqualified, without retreat, you create the karma that in the future, you can never receive these practices. Never. Cannot. And anyone giving false practices, you will be able to go there very fast. That will be the karma. If you don't believe, read the tantric texts. Read the texts written by Lord Vajradhara. What he says about tantra, the preliminaries, you read. I dare not tell you anything that you cannot check out. Because I know there's a lot of people around who are capable of checking up and searching on the net and saying, you're wrong! And you know, I don't want one of these people wearing funny shirts saying I'm wrong and make me lose face. So I don't dare say anything here on film. Anything that is incorrect. This is going on the internet. All over. Don't you think people write nasty letters in if it's wrong? Of course they would. They write nasty letters when it's right anyways. I'm not going to do that practice. Do it yourself. So I don't say anything's wrong. If you're wise, you will listen to what I say. And you follow. If you think no better, let's see. Read up, check, investigate. Let's see. I'm confident in what I say. Confident. My lineage, my practice, my lama is confirmed. My teaching here is not my will. It is sent by lineage holders. I am ordered by Ganden, by Khyentse Rinpoche, by the protectors of Ganden to go. It's not my wish. If I had my wish, you guys know what my wish is. Let's not repeat it. So, I'm here. I better give accurate information. I must. None of it will be false. None of it will be inaccurate. Like I said, I dare not. Especially now you got me on film. It's going to be on the internet. Isn't that going to be a little dangerous? If they find out I give wrong information, I might cut the supply of ang paos. How? And for those foreigners out there, ang paos are Chinese little red packets that in appreciation, they put some money inside. So they put some money inside, they don't show you. It's a red little envelope for the foreigners who don't know what ang pao is. And then the Chinese there who are meritorious, they're fabulous, they're wonderful, they're going to go to heaven, they put a big fat amount inside and give to the Lama. For those little miserly people who's not going to go anywhere, they're going to be reborn as an ant, they give a teeny little ang pao. No, I'm just kidding about that amount part. Anything from the heart, $1, $2, sincere, nothing. Offer, the best thing is not ang pao, is your practice, is your vows, to hold it, to keep it clear, to read a Dharma. Rinpoche, I read a Dharma book and I understood this. I offer this to you, wow. Rinpoche, you know what? I lie a lot. I'm not going to lie anymore, and I'm going to do a Vajrasattva practice to stop lying. I will start. What a wonderful offering. Cut the ego. Start your practice, purify your karma. Rinpoche, you know, I don't like when people tell me things. And I reject it. I'm going to start listening and not reject and try to listen and listen and listen. That's an offering. And don't stop at that offering. Make more offerings. See, the ang paos I want is practice. So do that. Oh, Rinpoche, I'm starting at my prostration retreat and give progress reports from time to time. Oh, I finished 2,000, 10,000, 15,000. Oh, in about 3 weeks, I'm going to finish 100,000. I'd like to offer to you. Wow. Then the Rinpoche lives. Your practice grows. This practice here grows. Practice can only grow by the power of practice. Basics, hold your vows. Hold your vows. And any infractions, purify. You're not purifying for the infracted vows. Also your previous lives. And this life's negative karma. Be happy to attend Dharma. Make time for it. Be effervescent. Be excited. Why? Will you have this opportunity ever? Have you heard the golden teachings of Dharma before clearly, directly? Have you experienced anything? So when you hear the golden Dharma and it touches you and moves you, you're in the right place. Right place meaning what? Your body listening to Dharma is the right place. Not necessarily here. Very, very important. So if we want to teach in the future, or we want to be practitioners, we must listen to a lot of Dharma, and we must ask, we must read and listen, and do practices to make it open. And then you see results. I promise you, you'll see results. Definitely, you will see it yourself, and you will feel very happy. All right, so I gave you a commentary on the next assignment because it's a little bit of Mahasiddha and wild. And gave you a little Dharma talk, which I always do here. And if you heard this 100 times before, thank you. Get ready to hear another 200 times, 300 times. And if you don't like it, find another Lama. We'll give you practices and secret and all that stuff. You know, Lamas can come and give you initiation and disappear. That's great. But they actually stay around, listen to you, your BFs, your doubts, your fears. That's very rare. Some of us see our Lamas once every 4 or 5 years, if we're lucky, or once a year, or 2 or 3 years. If we have money, we can fly to them. But even if we fly to them, how long can we stay? How much can we absorb? You have it right here. Right here. So if you can't make it across town, or you can't make your priorities right, it's not the Dharma, it's not anything, it's your own habituation. You don't know the value of Dharma. You're not bad, no. You don't know the value yet. But you will. You will. How lucky we are to hear the Dharma. How lucky we are to be in the environment of Dharma. How lucky we are. Why? Dharma means correct conduct. How lucky we are to be able to hear what we've done wrong and get the methods to do right. How lucky we are. Imagine if we never hear that it's wrong, with no basis. We don't know what to do, and we keep doing it. Horrible. So never take Dharma as criticism. As Lama Tsongkhapa says, all Dharma take as personal advice, then you won't be offended. Lama Tsongkhapa, the great, said. So if you take what the Lama says to you as advice, you've hit it on the dot. Results. If you think it's criticism, it's you resisting again as usual. If you have negative doubts from it and you avoid, it means you're afraid to face yourself. What else can it be? How can anybody talk about compassion, wisdom, and skillful means and you don't like it? How can? How can anybody teach you the right way to practice Dharma and Tantra and the protectors and Lam Rim and meditation? How can anybody teach you that and you don't like it and you don't want to listen and you think you have a better way? How can? Impossible. So it's resistance, embarrassment, ego, something that arises from our negative karma. So think about that. This is the fun part. We're going to go through this real quick. This is where we don't fill in the answers, waiting for the Dharma talk. Some of us, we leave it blank, we wait every time we fill it in here. Yes, I know. Now, number 7, the easiest one. Anila mentioned regarding the lady in Lahore who was to marry. What happened? What happened to that lady? All right? Chia? Oh. And we watched the video together. We listened to it last night together and we explained, remember? Oh, too bad. I spent about 3 hours watching it with you, listening. Thank you. All right. Number 7, Anila mentioned regarding Lady Lahu. Let's give an easy one. How about Tiki? In India, when you shave yourself bald, it means a death. Very inauspicious. You don't get married if somebody dies. Very inauspicious. Go ahead. Correct. So this inspired Anila too. Yes. So the tradition, that particular meditation tradition is not lost. It was very inspiring. She says she's a bright, beautiful, wonderful lady. And it just didn't have any opportunity. And she says, any guy comes in, you know, like beggar, male, just come in, they stuck into retreat because it's a place for males. So this is not fair. So she wants to start this tradition. Very easy. Not complicated. See, not a trick question. Not a trick question at all. All right. Number 8. If we know the Dharma, but we see our habits not change. What is wrong? What is wrong? JJ? Remember the question? If we know the Dharma, yet our habits not change, what is wrong? Remember the question. If we know the Dharma. Not a trick question. Think about it carefully. Yes, go ahead, JJ. Self-cherishing mind of ignorance. This one not right. Self-cherishing mind, you just stop, it'll be okay. Then? If you know the Dharma, how could you be ignorant? That wouldn't be ignorance. It's waiting for a result. What do you think, JT? Very good. How would that broken samaya create an obstacle for them to practice the Dharma? Although they know it, they can even talk about it. So he hasn't cleared his karma. Therefore, when he does negative actions, does he think it's good or bad? Or no care? Very good. Very, very good. Very good answer. Very precise. No big words, simplicity and straightforward. Very good. And Joe, what do you think about that one? Any other angle for that? It isn't only just one. Let me reiterate what JT says, sorry. When you break your samaya or break your vows or break your promise, it affects you also not only the karma that arises that make you see negative action as good. Also, the vows itself is to help you stop that action directly because you've sworn to the three jewels. Sworn. So that should be powerful enough for you to stop. Why? By holding the vows, you collect incredible merits to increase you to have correct view. And when you've sworn to the Buddha and you break it, you break that to the Buddha, to the Dharma master, to a qualified master. When you break that, you actually create the causes for you not to be able to hold a vow. And holy beings, enlightened beings, advanced beings, you'll see as enemies. Negative things that are harmful and negative actions that are harmful, you will see as good. Why? No respect even for the Buddha. And if you can break your commitment and your vows to the Buddha, never mind Dharma protectors, arhats, worldly gods, all these, you know, Taoist gods, all these fools, all this, never mind all of that. If you can break your word to the Buddha, you can break your word to anyone. Your mother, your father, your friends, your mates, people who are in pain, you can break your promise to anyone. So when you break your promise to the Buddha, you've created a habit to break what you promised. So what happens? You continue your habituations. So when you break your vows, it isn't instantly the karma comes back. Sometimes fast, sometimes not. Depends on who you break the vow in connection with and who you're doing it to. Because the level of the person you're doing it to will also extract the result faster or heavier. So if you are breaking vows or saying negative things or ugly words and damaging or trying to or gossiping about an advanced being, a being, even not advanced, holding their vows, even not holding their vows, but holding their vows to the best of their ability and practicing Dharma, the effects are much stronger, much, much stronger than if it's to a normal being. So the motive, the method, and the object makes how intense the karma is. How intense. So we have to be careful. That's why we respect Dharma masters. That's why we respect monks. That's why we respect our guru. That's why we respect other people's guru. We respect because since we cannot see the Buddha, they are the Buddha's replacement. Since they are the Buddha's replacement, if they're holding their vows and they're practicing, you can see, obviously. You can see from around them, their people, and their all that. If they are, and you mock, jest, talk, and say, what happens is this, you yourself create the karma not to see any Buddhas. And therefore, if you do that, you will not receive visions. Impossible. You don't create the cause for seeing visions. Impossible. And the visions you see will be delusions. Spirits and ghosts that you've dabbled with, temples you went to, they followed you back. And they'll talk to you, they'll show you all the time. And they'll tell you, tell people, tell people, tell people. Why? They want more people to follow them. Very, very simple. You can read the refuge vows in what I just said, in the explanation of the refuge vows. You don't have to go to the tantras. The basic first step. Read that. Sorry. Do you have another angle to add? Very good. Maybe your practice has not been done well. So you engage in, again, a very good angle. Very good. If you engage in practice retreats, you will see your mind transform. You will see, therefore, your habits arise from transformed mind. Transform. Definitely. Definitely. And who gets the benefit of a transformed mind? We ourselves. We ourselves. Why is that an offering to the Buddha? That's the reason the Buddha spoke and opened their mouths. Why is that an offering to your guru? The effort that your guru puts into you, advice, talk, teaching, center, place, help, financial, everything that the guru does to you, what do you think the guru wants from you? For you, your knowledge of Dharma to increase. Your knowledge of Dharma does increase. You always reward the guru back with failures and not doing and always problems and difficulties. And what karma do you think you receive? From a pure gift to you and an impure gift back. Think about it. Every time you fail, it's an impure gift you're presenting your guru. Every time you fail, every time you lie, every time you do something negative, is an impure offering to your guru or whatever gurus you believe in. Every time. Therefore, where can attainments arise? So habits don't change because habituation A. Broken samaya and broken vows B. Not engaging in retreats and purification practices that would help us to transform. And then if we joke about it and we make fun of our habits that are worldly and frivolous and ridiculous, then we actually rejoice at the actions. It's even sillier. Rejoicing seals the action. It's very, very important. So the giver or the person, their motivation, the method, and then the object, very important. If you were to throw water on a dog, dirty water on a dog, cesspool water, throw, it's very bad. You get karma. But if you throw it on a monk, very, very bad. If you throw it on your mother, very bad. Next, you throw it on a monk, even worse. Then you throw that on an arhat. Then to the Buddha, a statue. And even higher than that, it says in the tantras, in the sutras, no. In the tantras, which is the ultimate, if you throw it on your guru, or you something equivalent, or anyone's guru, very, very deep, then you yourself will go down. Why? If there's thing is karma, which is universal, it has to happen. In normal life, if we steal in front of our friend, and cheat and lie in front of our friend, and our friend forgives us, very easy. If we steal in front of policemen, huh? So, the person motivation, the object, the method, same. The object is different. So if we steal in front of policemen, what do you think? Oh, never mind. Slap you on the hand? No, no, no. Usually not. So think about it. Even in worldly terms, that's logical. So not changing is your lack of effort in all these departments we just talked about. So if you keep saying, I'm not changing, I'm sorry. No. When people know more and more about Dharma, they'll know why you're not changing. You have no place to hide anymore. No place. Where can you hide? Maybe last year, 6 years ago, 5 years, 3 years, you go, everybody's all poor thing, you're new what? You can't be new for the next 6 years, 7 years. And then people will know. They look at you and say, now I know why you don't change. You might think, the guru's evil, he let them know. Or you might think, how kind. It's up to your view, your karma. So then people who don't change, don't transform, backed into a corner by knowledge and wisdom. Very, very, very intense. Very intense. And that pressure is not enough. You're not even human. A reincarnation of some monkey. You are a monkey, and you're going to reincarnate in something even worse. Oh, yes. So if you believe in Buddha, believe in karma. If you don't believe in Buddha, you don't believe in karma. Why here? Why practice? Why recite mantra? Why talk? Why are you here hanging around if you don't believe in karma? If you don't believe in karma, you don't believe in Buddha. Simple. So why are you here? I have ulterior motive already. And that one people will see. So you have to transform. Worldly ways, middle way, high way. Worldly ways is to get along better, to have good things happen to you. The middle way is that you get personal happiness. The high way is enlightenment. High method, high way, enlightenment. Up to you, whatever motive. The fact is, we have to transform. Number two, is karma fatalistic, a planned map that we cannot cannot be changed, yes or no, and explain? Is it a planned map? Is it planned? Is it just that's the way it is? You know, there is no fatalistic means that's it. Even you go to fortune teller, where they say that's it. Is it it? Henry, what do you think? So if we don't change it, does it become like a map? That's right. But if we change it, although they may tell you something, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, your friend, your lama, whatever, the divination, then you think, I'm stuck. The lama said so what? The divination said so what? The Tin Hao Temple, fortune, divination, whatever, said so what? I had a dream. And my dream said so what? Yeah, if you leave it like that, it becomes that. An omen and portent. Yeah, it becomes that. If you do something about it to purify, then you avert it. If you don't avert it, it will become like that. And when it becomes like that, jump up and down, rejoice. Don't complain and be depressed and unhappy. Why? Then you're acting. Because you had a chance. Do you agree with that, girlie? Okay, then, if our karma is not fatalistic and it can be changed, let me ask you something. A person who believes in karma, would they complain about life and the difficulties around them and the problems and about people? Would they? If they really believed in karma, would they tell everybody they're a loser? Would they tell people they can't? Can they tell people they have too many obstacles? Can they tell people they don't have time? Can they tell people that I didn't achieve because of my bad karma? We hear that all the time. Is my bad karma what? Very easy to hide. So if we really believe in karma, and it's not fatalistic. Fatalistic in Mandarin? Okay, if it's not that, then can we run around blaming the world for our problems? And if we still blame the world and blame the people and blame our situation, blame our bad childhood, blame, I lost my mother and therefore I'm lonely and that's why I grow up to be a serial killer. If we blame everything and we use that as an excuse for people and we say we like Dharma, then you don't believe in karma. If you don't believe in karma, you don't believe in Buddha. If you don't believe in Buddha, what are you doing? What are you doing? So if you give you a little sad story about your childhood and therefore it justifies what you're doing now. If you blame someone at the center and that's why they're evil and rotten, that's why I don't want to. If you say that they caused this, they caused this, they caused this, you blame other people. And you use that as an excuse. Then you don't believe in karma. Because karma is not the map. It's not fatalistic. It can be changed. So if you keep complaining, keep talking, and keep failing, or making excuses, poor me excuses. Give a poor little face, you know, the cute little face which doesn't last. And lame excuses. And always fail. And then someone asks you why. It's my karma. So people who understand this teaching about karma, ooh, they're going to debate with you back. Is it? So let me give you a simple question. If your map is planned, and your karma is like that, and your fate's like that, why even practice Dharma? You can't be a Buddha because your fate says you're going to hell. Why even practice? Why be here? Why recite mantras? Why have an altar? Why pass pictures of your guru, your lama, your center, your prayers, all that to the whole planet? Why? Since your karma is set. So if your karma is not set, you do something about it. If your karma is set, okay, you just don't do anything. But you can't be sitting on the fence in between, not this way, not this way. Illogical. If you know Dharma and you know karma. So simple, so basic, but we didn't know that. Very logical. Does it make sense to everybody? Yes. Think about it. This is knowledge. And if you trust and you believe and you understand this knowledge logically, belief and trust comes up. When belief and trust comes up, it propels you to practice and propels you to control yourself and hold your vows. The whole reason of listening to karma is about holding your vows, which is a blessing and letting us know what is right and wrong. Very clear. Very clear. That's why if you know the Dharma, listen to a Dharma tape or read a Dharma book, you know even more. If you don't know the Dharma, you look at it, it's on face value. That's all. So can we come from now on, now that we know this, who here believes in the Buddha? Raise your hand. Who here from their heart believes in the Buddha? Good. Who here from their heart believes in the Buddha's doctrine, the Dharma? Who? Since you believe in the Buddha's doctrine, the core belief of Buddha's doctrine is taking responsibility for yourself based on karma. So do we believe in karma? Okay. If we believe in karma, can we fail? Continuously, nonstop. No. Can we always leave our burdens for other people? No. Can we always blame everything and everyone around us and our situation for what has happened to us or what we're doing now? We cannot. If you do, then you don't believe in the Dharma. You've broken your vow. If you don't believe in the Dharma, you don't believe in the Buddha. You broke another vow. You say, what's all these vows? You see, if you study, you put into practice, you do purification, you wouldn't break any vows. You wouldn't have any problems at all. Why? You have understanding and knowledge. Even from this short Dharma session, you get so much knowledge on such a subject you think is so simple. But it's connected. All Dharma is connected to another form of Dharma. All Dharma. And if you ever receive the higher teachings in the future, you will connect back to this and you see how it's actually equivalent. So your basic human problems, complaining, blaming others, don't want to change, don't want to transform, being difficult, pushing your responsibility aside, hurting people, lying, deceiving, breaking your vows, claiming you're high masters, claiming you have visions. The tantric vows specifically said, if you practice tantra or need to protect us, you cannot tell people you have visions, all that. You break your vow. If you break your vow, definitely you don't have visions. Definitely. You don't believe me? Read the tantric manuals and read the vows. The 14 root tantric vows in the auxiliary. Read the 18 bodhisattva vows of a tantric practitioner and the 46 auxiliary. Read it. It's right there, clear. So if you know the Dharma and you study Dharma, when someone tells you a lie, you know how to debate back. You cut everything off. If you don't know the Dharma, you're always sleeping and you don't pay attention, then when someone tells you BS, you follow it. Why? Because you yourself no put effort. So the sum up karma is effort. It gives you hope to become better. It gives you hope to improve. It gives you a clear, logical insight on how we can become better. and improve. Very logical, very clear. So if you complain again, like that, like that, like that, like that, like that, you don't believe in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. If you blame others, clearly, something so simple is so deep and it penetrates our lives. Believing in karma means taking responsibility. Believing in karma means changing. Believing in karma gives us hope. Number six, name the four different types of purification that a person with heavy negative karma can do in order to change their habits to stop more damage to themselves and others. Maple, give me one. Good. Mr. Ngao, give me another one. Very good. Vajrasattva, what? Very good. Another one? Tashi? Very good. The last one, Fat Monk? Purification practice. Yeah, that can be included. It's not a direct one, but it can be included. Can you give me a direct one? What? What's Guhya Samaya? Oh. Yeah, very good. Samaya Vajra. Samaya Vajra is a deity that purifies your broken commitments of Tantra and to your Guru. Because it's very heavy, the karma. Very, very heavy. You see, think, but I have faith in my Guru. I have his picture on the altar. I make offerings to him. That's not your Samaya to your Guru. Your Samaya to Guru is don't lie. Don't say harsh words. Don't say words that divide friends, divide people, divide. Separate them. Don't say words that deceive. And the highest one is to tell people you have attainments when you don't. That is taking refuge in your Guru and Guru Samaya. When you do any of that and you break it, you've broken your Guru Samaya. Does your Guru want to do that? You want you to do that? Definitely not. So if you steal, if you beat, and you commit sexual discrepancy, what is that? When you're with one partner and you cheat on your partner with another partner. Very bad. You break your Guru Samaya. Completely you break your Guru Samaya. Why? From doing that, you take rebirth as an animal. Did the Guru teach you teachings to take rebirth as an animal? No. So when you kill, steal, and commit sexual misconduct, cheating on your partner, forcing another person, using extra normal means to seduce people, using blackmail, using lies to seduce and use people, that is sexual misconduct. Sex is not allowed. It is allowed. But there's a way to do it that doesn't create negative karma. Then you don't have refuge in your Guru. You should take your Guru's picture down or your Buddha's picture out and lock it up. Why? When people see you do like that, of course they don't have faith. And you create negative name for your lineage, for your practice, for your Guru. That is the worst. And not just that, it creates unhappiness, doubt, fighting, and no one will trust you again. Actions from the body. That's Guru devotion. That's Guru Samaya. That is the real Guru Samaya. Not putting pictures and praying to them and making offerings. That's nothing. Nothing. The real Samaya is keeping your vows. Anger. Doing actions out of anger and increasing it and not controlling one's anger. Not doing practices that release and let go of your anger. Desire. You wake up. You want this, you want this, you want this, you want this, you want this. I want this, I want this. You wake up, I want bubbly, I want bubbly, I want bubbly, I want bubbly. I want car, I want, all the time. You wake up, you go to sleep, I want all day, I want. Me, I want. You don't do practices to curb it. You don't do practices to hold it. You don't do purification practices to lessen it. And you just indulge in everything you want again and again. And then you use negative methods to get it. You've broken your samaya of the mind. Of the mind. To your Guru, to your Yidam, to your Dharma protectors. Broken. That's the real Samaya. That is the real Samaya. Don't BS people. Don't BS yourself and fool yourself. The real Samaya is holding the refuge vows and offering that to your Guru every day. At the end of the day, you think, yes, I've held it. And then you think what I've done wrong, and you do meditations. And you regret, really regret, and repent. If you really regret, repent, you won't do it again. If you say, I'm sorry, you do it again and again and again. Your practices will be ineffective. No three jewels will support negative action. Good or bad. Impossible. Then, Jealousy. Cannot be happy for another person. When they're happy, you want to do everything to destroy them. If you see someone good, you want to destroy them. If they didn't give you what you wanted, if they didn't do what you wanted, you want to destroy them. You want to get revenge on them. You want to hurt them. You want to find ways to hurt their mind. You're jealous. You're very jealous. So when you're jealous, what happens is the karma that's collected immediately will be, whatever you get, you cannot feel satisfaction. You'll be burning all the time, burning. You cannot feel. It'll push you to do more and more and more negative actions. It'll push you to hurt more and more people, damage more and more people, get more and more revenge on people, and more, till you meet someone who will get you back. Oh yes, they'll get you back. Don't always think that what you see is what you get. Some people, they have powerful connections. Some people, they have very powerful connections. They just make a little report on you. You will never know. End of you. Don't play with fire. Don't play with fire. Some people have powerful connections here and there. And you may have hurt 20, 30 people and they don't know anybody. But you will definitely run across someone that will get you back. Why? Not everybody out there is soft and nice or stupid. Oh, definitely. I've heard of cases where people looked at people's wives and they're, just look! They just go to a place, look, the people will send people to break their legs. Broken. And some more go to harass their mother, harass their father, and scare the old people. Many times I heard, you know, they don't come to me, they go to my parents. They make me lose face, my parents worry, they don't know what happened. They go to my parents. I've heard many cases before. You can ask Cha. He's with me all the time through these interviews. Many, many times. For years now I've been listening. And I tell the people, they say, how do I get them back? Give me some magic, Sifu. Give me something, protect me. How? Compassion and forgiveness, huh? Some leave, some listen more. Why? Their anger, their jealousy. Jealousy creates all your harm. So when you're jealous and you let it go and you don't do things to cut it down, to control yourself by vows, commitments, holding something sacred, you believe in your guru, you believe in Buddha, you believe it, you hold your vows, that will cut down your jealousy. If that cannot, and you create harm for yourself, by karma, it will definitely come back. And that karma will manifest in someone in the future, hurting you, getting you, blackmailing you, cursing you, spelling and hexing you. Always. I know from experience. It's not something I just read. Be careful. Cut down jealousy. All that goes away. All that will go away. Definitely will go away. And they do purification practices. Real ones. I promise you, you'll be light. You'll be very light. I promise you. And you'll have wonderful dreams. We'll talk about another time. Real dreams that are indicated in the scriptures for normal people like us will experience a purification. So be careful. Don't bring harm to yourself again and again. Make your mind unhappy and worry and covering yourself. Don't bring harm to yourself physically from people who one day will get you. They won't tell you. Very quiet. And don't bring trouble to your family. Be careful. If you love them, you will stop doing negative actions. The karma will come. You think about it. You think about the logic. Jealousy is the cause, not people. Jealousy makes you do actions that create you harm. So those 10 vows that we have, 4 of the speech, 3 of the mind, 3 of the body, those 10 vows are what we promise, Lord Buddha. Very simple. And you know what? Even if you don't take those vows, we should follow that anyway. Because if you don't follow that, I didn't take the karma, I didn't take the vows, I don't get negative karma. Don't be ridiculous. I didn't take the vow not to kill, so you know, if I kill, it's good karma. What? I didn't take the vow, you know. Nini, you took the vow, you took the vow, it's heavier karma. But still, if you kill, it's very bad karma. Some people come like that. I didn't take the vow, what? I'm safe. I look at them and say, oh my God. I just think of them in debates. Shh. Take it seriously. That's why I say it's all interconnected. That's why I like to give very simple teachings that tell you the broad spectrum of the Dharma, how it's interrelated. So if you can practice this, we'll talk about something more. You want Vajrayogini teachings? Sure, I can give it to you. Are you qualified to get it? Are you ready to get it? Do you have the foundation? If you don't, Lama and disciple both go to somewhere with no aircon. Very simple. And to read Dharma texts, secret tantric practices without permission and not initiation, you create the karma, you can never practice that and get results. Never. That's why there's a seal on it. It's not secret because you're not allowed. Secret because it'll be always secret from you because you don't practice well. That's why it's secret tantra, secret mantra. Name the three types of laziness Lord Buddha identified and described as clearly by Anila. Name the three types of lazinesses. Femma. So, that's very good, Fat Monk. I'm surprised you know that. You're a good Dharma teacher. Very good, very clear and direct. You must have studied. You must have someone tutor and help you. Wonderful. Three types of laziness. One is just not wanting to make an effort. You don't want to try. You don't want to do it. You just leave it. First type, very obvious laziness. Very obvious. Everybody can see. Number two, excuses. I'm a failure. I can't do it. Let them make the merit. Oh, I rejoice if they do it. I rejoice if they teach. Oh, you rejoice my foot. You're just lazy. You want them to teach because you don't know anything. So of course you rejoice because you're rejoicing that you don't have to make effort. What kind of rejoice is that? BS. Oh, I rejoice they make the offerings to the Buddhas. You know, they're so generous. Of course you're generous because you don't have to spend a dime. If you rejoice for others because you're stingy, that's not rejoicing. That's confirming your miserliness. What kind of rejoicing is that? Ridiculous. I've heard that so many times. People, they come and say, oh, I rejoice, blah, 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 made the offerings. And, you know, I wanted to do it, but they did it. Let them have the merits. I'm looking at them. They're telling me this. Then some more after that, they call me Rinpoche. This Rinpoche may be an emanation of a clown. Not all. Some are Manjushris. Some are Tsongkhapas. So be careful. Some Rinpoches might be Lama Manjushris, Lama Tsongkhapas. We don't know because we don't have the level to proceed. And some may be a reincarnation of some little stupid monk in a past life and he made some good merit and here he is. Many types. But we don't know which one. And then, I can't do it. I rejoice. Let them do it. I'm a failure. I've been a failure. Oh, when I was a kid, you know, I was molested and I was neglected and, you know, the whole planet died except for me and I'm lonely. All kinds of lame excuses of why they cannot. So they use that over and over. It's to distract your mind to show you they're actually quite selfish and they'd rather have you do it. They don't want to make an effort. That's pure laziness, pure. And third one is what, Femma? Oh, from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., I'm going marketing. Wet market. From 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., oh, they got their plans perfect. And you know, if you go, they're always looking at the clock. If you go beyond the clock, they give you a black face. They throw a BF. From 9 to 11, guess what? They're going to be at the film shop, and they're going to develop pictures. And then from 11 to 12, lunch. 12 to 1:30, they take a nap. 1:30 to 2:45, they're going to read a novel. From 2:45 to 5, they're going to do some work on the computer. From 5 to 6, din din. From 6 to 6:15, poo poo pee pee time. 6:15 to 8, TV. 8 to 10, maybe some exercise. At 10 exactly, sleep. And they're very busy. Always busy, always got a schedule, always something happening, and they got to look at their little diaries, all that. And when you look at the schedule, you go, oh my God, it's just, you end up nowhere, you end up nothing. You make the schedule, you keep yourself busy. Why do you keep yourself busy? So people leave you alone. It's another way to hide, another way of laziness. And you don't know anything, because you're busy. You can't attend Dharma talk, you're busy. You can't meditate, you're busy. You can't do retreat, you're busy. You can't read. You're too busy to hold your vows. Can you recite 3 mixamas a day? Sorry, I'm too busy. Let me see if I fit it in between 10 and 9:59 to 10. I hear people like that all the time. They're always busy. It's another form of laziness. So if you know that, the next time someone tells you that, you say, no. Skillfully, you give them the message and teach them. And they get on your nerves and tell them you're lazy and explain why. That's my method. Very good. Very good. Very good, fat monk. Very good. Wonderful. We're sick. We have the antidote, the medicine. We don't take it. We sit there. We're sick. Very good, fat monk. When we do, number one, when we do Dharma work, after a while we burn out, have negative thoughts and regrets. Why? What did Anila mention as the cause and the solution? What example she gives of a religious order that grows and grows and grows and gets stronger and not weaker? Why do we get burned out after we do karma, or we do Dharma work for a while? What's the real reason behind that? Andy? A contemplative sect. That's right. Which is? Correct. Yes. Yes. Anything to add to that, Paris? What we're doing. Just burns out. Very good. So if we don't study the Dharma, we don't know why we're really doing it. We just say it's good, good, Dharma, Dharma, we do a lot of people drop out. Then they get disappointed. And then number two, they don't listen to the Dharma study and they don't contemplate the Dharma. So they know very little and they get very angry. Anything happen in a meeting, Dharma meeting, anything difficult, anybody difficult, they want to quit, they want to run, they can't do it. Why? Not because the situation is difficult, because they themselves don't have knowledge to handle it. And on top of that, those of us who don't want to do our commitments, break our commitments all the time, our sadhanas and practice meditations, we burn out. You know why? Because those actually support our Dharma work. So that's what Anila mentions. Breathing in is the knowledge, is the contemplation, is the practice, is the retreats. In our case, breathing out is doing the work. And when we do that, you know what happens? Your Dharma work increases, it becomes bigger and bigger and grows, grows. And you never, ever give up. The people who give up, they only do active Dharma. They don't do contemplative. A person, you want to tell whether they do contemplations and meditation. Even they say they don't do contemplations. Even they say they don't do meditation. You can tell whether they do meditation or not if they don't give up. If they give up, or they throw a BF, or they complain, or they make an excuse why they want to run away, that's a clear sign they don't meditate. And so they're not bad. They didn't know. A person who never gives up, a person who continuously pushes themselves to help others in any way, shape, or form, constantly, is a person who does a lot of meditation, a lot of contemplation, a lot of study and practice. You may not see it. Why? They have the result. Since they have the result, you don't need to watch them like a spy to see if they practice. They have the result. So no matter how difficult the situation is, no matter how hard a person is, no matter how stubborn a person or a situation is, this person will never give up. This person will never abandon. This person will never even contemplate. Why? Because they have fed themselves with knowledge. Why that happens? Contemplation to go deeper into their mind so it sinks in. And practice to enhance, to collect the merit for that realization to come. And therefore, that type of person never gives up. Never. A person who gives up is clear sign, no contemplation, no study, no practice. Clear. I just give up. They support someone, all of a sudden this person does something wrong, bye-bye. Oh, yes. Oh, they do Dharma work? Oh, I don't like that person, they're like that, bye-bye. Oh, I don't like this person, bye-bye. It's a clear sign, no contemplation. Clear sign. And that arises from your laziness because you're either busy, or you're a failure, or you're just lazy. It's all connected. All very connected. Very connected. Those who don't not give up, either meditated tremendously in their previous lives. So even at a very young age, they don't give up and they pursue spiritual practices. It's a result of their previous lives of meditation. Why? It's a continuum, same mind. In this life, you see them increase and grow and grow and grow. Why? They have contemplation, meditation, and practice. Clear sign. So that's why I say you don't need clairvoyance to check out people's actions, what they're doing. I always tell you guys, if you study the scriptures, if you listen, if you watch Lam Rim, you will be like you have clairvoyance. You can watch their body, their speech and mind. You can watch the eyes, the way they talk, their body movements, and you will know what they're thinking, what they're doing, and if they're lying, what's going on. Immediately you will know. Just like a psychologist can look at a person, something wrong. They talk to you, you're not sure. They talk to psychologists immediately say, it's like that, their mind's like that, trauma's like that. Immediately. Why? They've studied. So in Dharma, if you study Dharma, you'll be able to read another person very clearly and very quick. They cannot fool you. You can let them think they fooled you to benefit them for now. And then through practice, through the tantras, if you gain any type of higher insight, then you got double. How wonderful. So whatever excuses people give you, you can cut right through it with wisdom and Dharma. That's why I say Dharma is supreme. Best psychology. Clear on that, everyone? What was the message Anya was trying to convey when she mentioned her friend with breast cancer and what happened to this lady? Number four, what was Anila trying to convey in that? When she talked about the breast cancer and when she talked about what happened? Juan? This life, she didn't do anything bad. What's the example Anila gave for this lady? What happened to this lady? The cause of her breast cancer. Correct. She was immediately. She had a day deja vu or daydream or day vision, and people have that. That is really because it's a memory from another life. She was a soldier in the Crusades wearing a mail, you know, steel leather, steel protection, and she had a spear, and she caught the enemy, and she had a spirit at the heart of that soldier, and the soldier pleaded with her, or him at that time, and with the eyes, please, please, and she had a choice. Do or not do. And she had thrust the spear in the heart. The minute she did that, immediately she had pain in her breast. Because people ask, why this life? I have so many problems, I'm good, what? When they don't understand karma, they blame, they become depressed. Yeah. When Buddha was walking and he was with his disciples and he came upon a corpse, what did Anila say happened to that person in relations to karma, according to what Buddha said? David? That's right. That person was impressed with the Buddha, wanted to become ordained. The wife stopped him. He comes from a very wealthy family. And eventually how he ended up a corpse on the street, a wastrel, a drunk, is because his wife stopped him from doing something good. She felt he should take care of responsibilities. And what happened? He instead turned to gambling, which led to drinking, and he spent all his money. Nowhere to go. He lived outside, and he died. So when people came up and they went, ew, ooh, blah, 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 Buddha explained the karma of that person. And Buddha said, if he had become ordained, not the potential, if he had become ordained, he would have been an arhat, one who is liberated from suffering in this life. But he took the other choice. That's why sometimes you're told, or your lama tells you, make the right choice. You will suffer the consequences later. Do not look at the moment. Make the right choice. Karma is not fatalistic. It can be changed if you make the right choice and work toward. Making a choice and not working toward? No. Working toward and pushing. Make the right choice. It's a teaching about karma. That's why I relate these to you. It's very simple. If you remember the story, you can connect it. Very easy. And for you to remember karma that way, much easier. Much easier. And the last one. The last one. The easiest. This one's if you really listened. Buddha, on the eve of his enlightenment, perceived what on the first watch, second watch, and the third watch of the night? How long was one watch? What time approximately did one watch begin and last watch end where he became the Buddha for his time? One watch is how many hours? How many hours, Millie? Very good. So he reached enlightenment at approximately what timing, according to Anila? Dashi? That's not what she said. You don't give me your assumption, you give me what she said. What did she say? Singpiao? What time approximately? She gave a description. Paul? Very good. Buddha finished his meditation to become enlightened at the third watch, just before dawn. So if watch is 3 hours, we would have to assume he attained enlightenment around 6 a.m. approximately. Very simple. So the first watch, approximately what time did Buddha enter into his final meditations? Approximately enter. Ruby? Correct. 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6. Very logical. The minute she said dawn, a watch is 3 hours, you can figure it out instantly. And on the first watch of Lord Buddha's final meditation, what did Buddha realize? Jenny? Not just his past life. Be a little more explicit. If you're going to be at the Dharma stores to let people know about Buddha, you need to, his past life. It's got to be a little more. Dress it up. Put some dressing on your salad. Paris? Anything to add to that? Very good. Excellent. That's what I want to hear. He perceived the karma of himself, what he created, the result, how he experienced it, and how the world and the system and the universe in relations to his existence in it and the interdependence. That's a little heavy, but everything how it's created. Himself. And we're talking about billions and billions and billions and billions of years. So in a few minutes, he can realize that why, on an absolute level, time is irrelevant. Why? We can have a 5-minute dream, but it seems like we were in that situation for 5-6 hours in our dream. We go, oh my God, that was so long. We go, oh, it's only 5 minutes, what? So time is relative to experience things. When you have knowledge and wisdom, and you're using your subtle mind, as in the case of your dreams, you can see things very fast and quick, very quick. People who do meditations, you always look at them and say, oh, they're very fast, huh? They're very sharp, huh? They just know things very fast. How do they know that? Awareness. Their awareness is born in them. Very quick, very fast. So we're always amazed. It comes from effort. The second watch of the night. The second watch of the night. What did our conqueror, what did our Lord Buddha realize? What did our Lord Buddha realize on the second watch of the night? Maple? Not just his own, correct? Yes. And one more word I'm looking for. I'll give you a hint. Very good. So on the second watch of the night, not only was he able to perceive his previous lives perfectly, without obstruction, he was able to perceive all the lives of every single sentient being, samsara. Imagine that, simultaneously at once. Their cause, their appearance, their suffering, what they went, what they made, what they did, where they were born, everything he can perceive perfectly. And therefore, when we believe in higher levels of powers, example, a Dharma protector who takes trance and gives you advice will always be different than a worldly god. Always. Why? They can see unlimited. That's the qualities of a Buddha. Very clear. So when we consult a worldly god, the advice will always be different than if we consult a lama's divination or a dharma protector. Always. Why? You get short-term and long-term. One is unobstructed. One is limited. Both can be good motivation, both. So if we go to soothsayers, we go to fortune tellers, we do that, very dangerous. Why? Their wisdom and their able to see is limited due to the fact they're not a Buddha. They don't have unobstructed view. And Buddha saw everybody's and his and the interconnectedness of himself and all of us, how we're interconnected. Unobstructed past, present, and future. He has that type of mind. Therefore, we can take refuge. The third watch of the night. What did he realize, Millie? Can we have a little more description? We all know that. Thank you. I already mentioned it. So simple. Millie, forget about the third watch of night, interconnectedness of all sentient beings. Think about how you're connected to what we're doing here. That would be pretty good attainment. What do you think? There's Henry trying not to smile. Don't make a mistake in front of Henry. He's going to give you that, oh my God, smile. Chia? Very good. And in that way, when we harm each other, or we've done harm, the person we've harmed in the past, some lifetime ago. And the person we're harming now, they will harm us again. So whatever you do, it's all connected to every single sentient being on this planet. And in this samsara, not just planet. Therefore, it behooves us. It would be very wise if we don't harm, we forgive, we let go. Why? It will come back. This is not Tibetan weird tantra made up, you may think. This is Lord Buddha himself. His realization that made him a Buddha. And therefore, we should be very careful how we deal with people, how we talk, how we damage, how we hurt, how we lie, how we help, how we love, how we do things with everybody. We must be very, very careful. Why? It will come back. And these people will come back even stronger to harm us. Even stronger and more powerful. Why? You've done something to them, the karma will manifest back. So if you're ready for that, you think now you're very powerful, you can talk, you can say this, you have a gun, whatever, you have money, you can do whatever you want, you think. But that doesn't last. Doesn't last. Be very careful. And therefore, when we know this, we respect the Buddha and how he teaches and what we need to apply in our lives. Incredible. Incredible. That's why I say, when we have a Dharma session, look how much more you learn. And when we have it together, we read, we listen, and we answer questions. It forces us to remember. And then we discuss afterwards. Look how much we learn. On something as simple as karma, which everybody, yin guo, cause and effect, what? Everybody explains why. The end. When we get to higher teaching. Oh, there's more karma, more intricate. More. Blow your mind away. But why don't we master this? How do we master this? We can repeat it? No. Our actions. If our actions don't reflect the knowledge of karma, don't ask for higher teachings. Why can you go for higher teachings when you didn't even master the lower one? Mastering is not knowing and you can debate. Mastering is you are living the practice. That is mastering the teachings. Very good. So next book club, gathering is when? Oh, 1 o'clock. Shock, shock. What's today's date? Very simple, 1 month. 16th, right? Okay, February 16th. Are we all here? Is Chinese New Year's over? Or we're still running around in our hometowns, you know, getting fat? Over. You're back? Good. When do you come back? 7, not very good. Because I wouldn't want Fat Monk to miss the teachings. He wants knowledge. Maybe before he died, we call him Geshe Fat Monk. Just call him Geshe Lala. Good. So you get the books from Jenny. There's not enough, so she'll deal with you how, what to do. And February 16th, we'll have the book club. Wonderful. Once a month, what's the big deal? Imagine if you broke these teachings up to once a week, it's nothing. It comes out to about 15, 20 minutes. We slap it all into one day. I'm tired. I've got fever. I've been popping medicines here, but never mind. My mind's happy. So if we should think like that, wow, we got this knowledge about karma, and we interact and we share it with each other, our Dharma brother and sister no more, and with this knowledge, we have the logical means to transform ourselves. Wow. It changes everything. Nothing changes, but everything changes with this knowledge. And if you take refuge, you believe in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, do it. Immediately. Now. Every time you delay and you don't do, it's a clear sign you don't believe in the Dharma. You don't believe in the Buddha. Then why are you here? Why do you have an altar? Why do you recite mantras? Why do you have malas? Why? All these ritual things is not Dharma. All those are games, distractions. And if we're not qualified, it brings us destruction. Whatever we play with, if we're not qualified, whatever we use for other people, those things will come back to us. I've seen many cases in Singapore itself, many. They come back to us. I have some bonbons who give up their bonbonhood. They stop doing it. Why? The spirits attack them eventually. They come and see me. They attack them. Can you imagine? After 20, 30 years, they get it. Incredible what I've seen. No point. Study the Dharma. Practice Dharma. Hold your vows. You don't have vows, hold your vows anyways. Be kind. Cut your jealousy. Have real guru devotion. And then you see your lives transform. The purpose of a lama is to give you teachings and to elucidate, to make your mind clear. The purpose of you listening to teachings is to transform. And the purpose of transformation is to alleviate sufferings created from the past and to avoid future difficulties for yourself and your loved ones. Whatever actions we do will come back to us or someone around us. Always. Always. We send magic to someone. They send it back to us. It comes to our house. Of course, our family will get it. Not just us. We burn people's house. They want to come and get us. They burn our house. Our family gets it. If they are family to get it, when our family hears about it, they have pain. What's the difference? It will always come back. No point. Stop. Be committed to the Dharma. When you make a promise and commitment to the Dharma, keep it. Don't always flip back and forth. Maybe, 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 maybe. Put it on the last priority, last agenda. And, you know, they're nice people. They're not going to angry at me. They don't care. They're going to forgive me. And I can always go back and I can do this. We wouldn't do that on the outside. Why? We know that the minute we do that, they're going to get us. Because they're not nice people. Be committed to the Dharma. Be committed to Dharma purposes. Be committed. You make commitment, do it. Why? When you benefit so many, only good can come for you and the ones you love when you dedicate. Definitely. Anila even mentions that at the end of the tape where she talks about people. Someone asked her about changing people who are very difficult to change, and she gave us the method, light methods. When we do Dharma work, we dedicate it to the people we love and it benefits them. That's what she said. Commitment. Because we're flippant about spiritual commitments and what we promise the spiritual community. If we're flippant about that, then it reflects our priorities. Just money, food, clean, happy, sex, that's all. That's all we want. And if it's like that, it's not different than an animal, as Anila says, and the result will be the same. Commitment. Very, very important. The Sangha, the people work for the Dharma. The Dharma comes from the Buddha. So when you're flippant about your commitments, it goes indirectly to the three jewels. Indirectly. So whether people are nice to you or not, when you keep changing your mind, doesn't really matter. But you yourself create obstacles for you. Think about all that, if it makes sense or not. Don't feel guilty or bad or good. Just think, does it make sense? If it does, practice. If we know the results of harm, we don't do it. Where there is no Dharma, let there be the Dharma. Where there's a misunderstanding of Dharma, let it become clear. Where there is Dharma, let it become much stronger. May I take on the burdens and unhappiness and sufferings of others happily. May I absorb their problems happily. May their negative karmas come to me in the form of sickness. May their obstacles come to me in the form of sickness. May their difficulties come to me in the form of sickness, and I happily accept so that they can realize the Dharma. May I be happy to give over from my virtues and merits and time and energy and love and wisdom and accept their ignorance, hatred, anger, and their negative karma. May I be able to accept that. In this life and all future lives, may I never be separated from the King of Dharma, Lama Tsongkhapa, and his holy doctrine, and the great masters who follow it and elucidate it correctly. May I become a lineage holder myself by practice, contemplation, meditation. And may I be able to spread the Dharma through my body, speech, and mind, especially by my action. May the crops be good, harvest be excellent, the government be strong, and leaders have right clarity and operate clearly. We pray for them. May the ones we love, we reward them with our efforts and love, and we reward them with good action. And whether they're watching us or not, we behave well to reward the people we really love. Otherwise, it's not love. May we be able to suffer difficulties for others happily. Janchu. Tony. Kewan. Chijijabo. Kewandi. Kewandi. Kandi Deve. Tenjuji. Wonderful. Wonderful, excellent. I rejoice for your effort. I rejoice for your reading. And I rejoice in your learning. And yet, everything I rejoice. Excellent, wonderful, wonderful. You've made use of the past 4 or 5 hours positively. And many weeks of negative karma positively. Trust the Buddhas. 100% commit to the Dharma. And be a Sangha. What's a Sangha? A person who takes the Dharma, realizes it, understands it, at any level, and benefits others. Be a Sangha. Don't be outside watching the Sangha and rejoicing at them. Why rejoice when you do it? It's even better. Rejoicing is when we don't have legs and arms, and we can't move. We're sitting there in a wheelchair or whatever, and then we can't do anything, then we rejoice. We got legs and arms, we know everything, we can do everything, we can't, and we rejoice. It's not rejoicing, it's just laziness. We're not lazy. Some of us didn't know that. Now we know. So next time someone tells you they're too busy or they're a failure, you know what to say. Correctly, with wisdom, to help them. Okay, very good.